Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Dave Brown from Beacon Falls Congregational Church here in Beacon Falls, Connecticut, and we want to welcome you to our special Easter service. And I want to thank our own very own Joe McWilliams for the medley of resurrection songs that he just played, and what a blessing to our hearts. And we're glad you have tuned in to us today and that you're joining us for this service. And I want to start by just giving just a few announcements. This is our live stream worship service from our sanctuary here in Beacon Falls Congregational Church, and we continue. We've been doing this for several weeks. We will continue until we can once again meet together, but right here via Facebook Live each Sunday at 10 a.m. We will broadcast this service, and we ask you to please share this stream to your own page, so that we might reach others, and others who may want to hear, may need to hear the program, and be multiplied for God's glory, and we encourage you to do that. For our own church, Beacon Falls Congregational, we'll be sending you announcements out this week and communicate to you of all the things happening or things you should be aware of regarding our church body, and you be sensitive to that as we communicate to you several times during the week. And we hope if you have any needs, let us know. If we can help you in any way, please let us know. Groceries, supplies, whatever. We want to help you with Zoom, with Facebook, whatever you need, whatever we can do to help you. If you know someone, please let us know and contact us, and we'll try to respond just as quickly as possible. And I also want to give a sincere thank you to our supporters financially for our church. So many of our people have so generously responded to our requests to keep up our pledges and our offerings. This is a very difficult time for everyone, and certainly the church is no different. But many of you have been so very, very faithful during this trying time, and I want to just tell you, I and all of our leaders, all of our church, we appreciate your faithfulness, and we're deeply grateful for that. And some of you have asked about online giving. We want to just tell you that in response to the times, that's something we've looked into, and we're pleased to offer now an easy and secure donation online button via our website. And so if you would like to give online, you feel like that would be easier for you, then just go to beaconfallscongregational.org and look for the giving page and follow the directions, and you'll be able to do that. And again, we just want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your faithfulness, and you've been a real blessing to us. Now, let me lead us in prayer, and I want to encourage you again that we feel like this is a great opportunity to pray. If you have prayer requests, you can send those in to us during the program. I will read those off, and we will pray specifically for those requests that you send to us. And you can do that throughout the program while I'm giving today's message. And I'll be speaking to you in a few moments from Matthew chapter 28. Chapter 28 of the book of Matthew. But let me lead us in prayer right now just to open our service and ask God to bless, all right? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again. As we think about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you are the Savior, you are the Most High God, you are alive today. Crucified, buried, risen again. You paid for our sins when you died for us. You gave us victory over death when you rose from the grave. And so we praise you today. We thank you for this opportunity to just share your power, your love for us. And I pray for those who might be listening, watching today, that you might even now speak to their hearts, draw them close to you. May you have your way and your will in their lives. And if there's someone today that has joined us for this broadcast, that, Lord, you might touch their hearts, help them. If they do not know you as Savior, may this be the time where the truth of the gospel may reach their hearts and open their minds, their spiritual minds, that they may see their need for a Savior, that they may trust you even in these moments. Bless now the Word of God as it goes forth, that hearts and lives may be touched and changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Matthew chapter 28, I want to speak to you today on the power of Easter. It says there in verse 1, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. And they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" Jesus, when he died on the cross, was such a dark and black time. It was a hopeless time for his followers. His death left his disciples defeated, depressed, and discouraged. And certainly, they experienced fear like they had never experienced before. But the resurrection, 3 days later, restored their confidence, change their world again. You and I today, as we think about the influence of the Easter story, we face unprecedented times. Much fear fills and permeates our society, our culture. In the United States alone, over 500,000 cases of coronavirus have occurred. Over 20,000 deaths in America. We now have suffered more deaths through this virus than any other nation. Here in Connecticut, there are over 11,500 cases of the virus, almost 1,600 hospitalizations, and nearly 500 who have died. So there's great fear, great concern that is just permeating our world today. But if we can focus today on the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if we can understand and apply that power, we can overcome our fears. Fear will not control us, but we can overcome. You will face life with confidence, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of the negativity around us. You see, our Lord's cross is the gateway into his life. His resurrection means that he has power now to convey his life to us, to me, to you, to those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. When I was born again, when you were born again, when we turned from our sins and turned to Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we believed in him, we were born again. He gave us new life. We were born from above, and we received the Lord, in the Lord, his very life into our lives. Our Lord's resurrection destiny, the scripture says, is to bring many sons into glory. The fulfilling of his destiny gives him the right to make us the children of God. And so when our Lord rose from the dead, he rose to an absolutely new life, a life that he did not live before. His resurrection means for us that we are raised to his risen life, not to our old life, Not to the old weaknesses and the old failures and all of that, but to a new life. One day, the Bible promises us that we shall have a body like unto his glorious body. But we don't have to wait till then to experience the impact of his resurrected life. He tells us that we can know now the impact of his resurrection. And we can walk in newness of life. Paul says in Philippians 3:10 that his desire was to know him experientially. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. So Paul tells us that we can walk in newness of life. We can live and experience confident living. You know, when we think of that, what robs a person's confidence? What robs your confidence? What robs my confidence? Well, there's several things. One is fatigue. Fatigue is probably the most common cause of discouragement because things look worse when we're tired. The old NFL coach Vince Lombardi said, "Fatigue makes cowards of us all." When we're tired, we lose our confidence. Another thing that robs our confidence is failure. The disciples, when the mob came and took Jesus ultimately to the cross, the disciples fled. Scriptures tell us that they forsook Jesus at his point of need, and they forsook him and fled. How do you handle failure? Well, if you don't always succeed, you're normal. Welcome to the human race. All of us have failed. All of us have gone through difficult times. And we have failed sometimes very badly. But we've all have experienced failure. So that's another thing that robs our confidence. A third thing is fear. And fear is so very real to us right now. And we fear many things. Sometimes it's mankind and what man can do to us, the power and influence of certain individuals. For instance, when Jesus was crucified, when he died, the disciples fled and they gathered in a room and locked the doors, the Bible tells us, because of fear of the Jews. They feared for their very lives. Now that Jesus died, now they were afraid that the mob was going to come for them. So we fear fear. We talked already about failure, but because failure robs our confidence and has such devastating effects upon us, we also fear failure. John Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers, said, "The danger is not that we should fall, but that we should remain on the ground." Irrational fears, sometimes they either compel us to do that which is irresponsible, or they prevent us from doing that which is responsible. The fear of failure can cause us not to risk trying anything at all. The fear of failure sometimes paralyzes us to the point where we can't do anything. And thereby, we avoid any possibility of failure, we think. But the very fact that we won't go forward is failure in itself. Failure is the line of least persistence. People don't fail, really. They just give up trying. That's what is true failure. Failure is not when you're trying and you fail and you keep on trying. Failure is when you stop trying at all. But failure is something we fear. And man is someone we fear. Another thing we fear is financial ruin. People right now have lost jobs and lost income and lost the ability to earn that income. Businesses have gone out of business, and so it's a real fear that people wonder, how are we going to make it through? How are we going to earn enough to just meet the necessities of life? So it's a real fear that people experience. But another fear that is so very real to us right now is death. Surveys indicate that the most common fear that people have is related to the fear of death. The fear of death then seems to center in these surveys, seems to center on four main issues. Number one, the fear of dying and going to hell, to be judged. People fear committing that unpardonable sin that they cannot be forgiven for. So people have that fear of dying and being judged. Secondly, the fear of dying and leaving loved ones behind. People are afraid to die and then just leave and be parted from their loved ones. A third fear of death is that they fear their loved ones dying. We've seen much of that during this difficult time. And then fourthly, the fear and horror of the actual dying process. People are afraid of experiencing the suffering sometimes that goes along with death. But I want to say to you this morning, if there's any place where there should be laughter and joy, it should be in church on Easter Sunday. Whether it's in a sanctuary where we gather physically, or right now we're doing it through Facebook Live. People all over the country joining in on this worship service. We can have laughter. We can have joy because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have everything in the world to celebrate. Now, I know we don't like to talk about death because we're afraid of it. And now in our current culture, our current time, it's very present with us right now. Death is very prevalent. We see it all around us right now. It's the subject that concerns so many of us. But Jesus Christ, let me remind you, he came to set us free from the fear of death. It says in Hebrews 2:15, it says, and he came to free those who all of their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Really, the virus has not really made us fearful of death. I think so many people have always been afraid of death. That fear now has just been heightened because of the current pandemic we find ourselves in. But so many people live their lives afraid of death because they don't know what's ahead. They don't know what's out there. Jesus Christ came. He lived. He died. He rose again that he might free us from the slavery of death. So what robs us of confidence? Well, failure, fear, financial upheaval, death, fear of death, all of these different things. But what gives us confidence? How can we get confidence? Have a confidence that will constantly stay with us? Well, there's two things that I want to just share with you very briefly this morning. Number one, God's presence gives us the power to start over. It says in John 20:20, when Jesus came and after he rose from the dead and he met with his disciples, he said to them, he showed him his hands and his side so they would know that he was Jesus. He was the one that they had followed for some 3 years. He showed them his hands and his side and he said, and it said that the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Their discouragement, their defeatism, all of that, their despair, their devastation, all of that was overwhelmed when they saw Jesus. You see, the secret of confidence is to get in tune with God every day. The secret of confidence to navigate through this negative, dangerous world is to have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Confidence, you see, is a spiritual problem that is solved with a right relationship with God. When I know that he is in control, and I understand that he sits on the throne of this world, now I realize that he has gone into the grave and conquered it for me, I can face the world, face its problems, face its difficulties with great confidence, knowing that he is with me and will be with me through it all. He says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26, he who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. So for that person who fears the Lord, there's a secure protection that God provides. God, you see, lets us start over. And as I said a few moments ago, every one of us have failed. Even in the midst of the situation that we find ourselves in right now, there are some of us who are overwhelmed with our failures. As we look at our lives and we look at what has happened maybe years ago or maybe even just recently, we're overwhelmed with those failures. But I want to tell you that God allows us. His presence lets us start all over. And he will help us. And that's the good news of Easter. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19, God gives us some very encouraging words. He said, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. Don't keep living in the past, God says. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. God can make the arid ground fruitful. God can make the dry ground filled with water. God can make our negative world into a positive outlook. God can do anything. And so God tells us, don't dwell on the past. Look to him for the future. You see, he specializes in new beginnings. And he wants to do something fresh in your life this morning. And this is what Easter is all about. Peter and the disciples had failed terribly, ingloriously they had failed. They were defeated and discouraged. And when Jesus appeared to them in that upper room, they had a new start, a new life, a new beginning. And Jesus' presence in their life allowed them to start all over. And Peter and the disciples became great and powerful witnesses for Jesus Christ. You see, as long as you have a pulse, as long as you're alive, as long as your heart is still beating, it's never too late to start over. Failure is never final unless you let it be. So forget the past. Focus on the future. And you may think that the future is so bleak right now, but focus on the future because Jesus Christ is alive. All of us have skeletons in the closet, but the good news of Easter is simply this. The Lord Jesus Christ showed up and gave us the power to start over. It tells us in Acts chapter 17, some years after Jesus had been crucified and rose again, and the church had been established and disciples were going all over the world preaching the gospel, it describes them as those who have turned the world upside down. Those defeated disciples, that motley crew of uneducated, untrained men, Jesus Christ, because he rose from the dead and he empowered them, he turned their lives around and used them to turn the world upside down. You see, he can turn our bleak world into something beautiful. He can help us navigate through the dangers of this life and use us for his glory. So his presence gives us the power to start over. But secondly, so very important for us to realize this today, God's power gives us the confidence to keep going. His power gives us the confidence to keep going. The resurrection of Jesus Christ demonstrated how powerful God is and let us know that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to us. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, and his incomparably great power is there available for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. What strength? Which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him on his right hand in the heavenly realms. God tells us that his power, the power that he used, the power that he exerted when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that power is available to us. As we live our lives, we can live our lives confident, knowing that his power is available. And you see, if God can raise Jesus from the dead, he can handle any problem that we face, any problem that we encounter, any problem that we give him. We don't have to be controlled by our circumstances. We don't have to be fearful or overcome or overwhelmed by our situation. We can live with confidence, knowing that he's in control. He says in Romans 8:11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Any person who has trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible uses the term he has been born again or born from above. And the scripture teaches us that when Jesus saves us, the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Godhead, comes to live inside of our bodies. He lives within us. That Spirit, and the Spirit is the one who raised Jesus from the dead. And God says, if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he will also give you resurrection power in your mortal bodies through his Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to perform miracles or do the things that Jesus did, but his power is available to us to live confidently in this world for whatever he has called us to do. He tells us, talking about this confidence in Philippians 1 verse 6, he says, being confident of this, and this is what we can be confident about this morning, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What's God started in your life? Has he begun a good work in you? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Do you know him? Not about him, but do you know him experientially? Is he your Savior, your Lord today? You may be listening, watching us today, and so many people are afraid that they cannot handle what Christianity will bring. And maybe you're afraid to give your life to Jesus because you're afraid of what demands may be upon your life. And so many people, because they're afraid of accepting Christ, they think that they'll lose their freedom or become a freak. And yet, God doesn't turn people into freaks. He turns freaks into people, you see. God can change your life. You see, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life today, if he's not your Savior, you're not living. You're just existing if your life is not right with him. He told us that when he came, in John 10:10, that he came to give us life and to give us abundant life. Not just to exist, but to make life an adventure. To make life something positive, something challenging. He changes our lives for his glory. You see, God has never given up on you. He's never given up on any of us. You give your life to him. You give it all to him, and then it's his responsibility to work it all out, and he will. At Easter, we talk much about believing in God. We talk much about believing that Jesus died and he was buried and he rose again, and just believing the whole gospel story. But do you realize that God believes in you so much that he sent Jesus Christest to die for you? Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. When he came into this world, he came on a rescue mission that he might rescue this world from its sins and pay the price for our sins so that we all might have eternal life with him. You see, he can help us thrive during fearful times like we're going through now. Several things that we should remember about the times we're going through. Number one, not everything we hear is true. Realize we're getting information from so many different sources, and so much of it is negative. But realize you must disseminate and go through the information. Not everything we hear is true. So realize that. And so much of the negativity is not true. Secondly, not everyone is at equal risk in this pandemic. There are some people who are at more risk, who have had their health compromised, and so they are more at risk. So that gives us who are more healthy a greater opportunity to help. They tell us that statistics are coming out that says that over 95% of the people who are afflicted recover from the coronavirus. And that's very hopeful. That's very positive. And it gives us an opportunity for those of us that are healthy to reach out and help our friends, our neighbors, and our family. Thirdly, understand that whatever we're going through, one day will pass. This situation, this virus, this condition, it will not always last. Peter said, God said in 1 Peter 4:12, not to be surprised at the fiery trial that you're going through as if it's a strange thing. Basically, Peter was saying, life is filled with trials. Life is filled with troubles. Don't be surprised about it, but navigate through it with the power and with the help of God. He said in 2 Corinthians 4:17 to 18, Paul said these words, that it's a light and momentary troubles. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. Paul had gone through many troubles, many difficulties, and though these are difficult in the big spectrum of things, he says, all of this is achieving for us eternal glory. He says, so we fix our eyes on what is unseen. What is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. So God wants us, as we go through these difficult times, to understand this is going to pass. It's not going to last. So fourthly, focus on what is unchanging. Keep our eyes on God. God never changes. He's always the same. He's immutable, and theologians define that as unchanging. God never changes. His nature, his will, his character never changes. So as we go through these difficult times, focus on that which is unchanging. And fifthly, no matter what you go through, God will go through it with you. You're not alone. Jesus said, I will not forsake you. I will never leave you. In Isaiah 43:2, listen to what God said. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. God will not forsake us. And though these days are very, very difficult, he will walk with us every step of the way. And sixthly, understand that this is not the end of the story. When Jesus died on the cross, all of his followers thought it was the end. It was black, it was dark, it was hopeless. Everything seemed to be over. All their hopes, all their dreams, all their thoughts of success and a kingdom, all of it was defeated in their hearts and minds. But 3 days later, Jesus appeared to them in that room where they had the doors locked for fear of the Jews. And Jesus said, peace be unto you. 3 days after the cross, there was the resurrection. He came out of that empty tomb to give hope, to give his power to all of us. So understand, this is not the end of the story. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 to 9, he says, we're hard pressed on every side. He says, but we're not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Paul had gone through some great difficulties. But then he went on to say in verse 14, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. One day, we'll be with Jesus. One day this life will be over and we'll be in his presence forever and ever. This is not the end of the story. And then, seventhly, God wants to use you through this crisis to help others. This is a great opportunity. These are difficult times. This is a great opportunity for you and me, for our churches to reach out and touch, reach out and help those who are hurting, reach out and help those who are fearful. And God may want to, and certainly God does want to use you during this time to help others. There's several lessons, I think, that we've learned from the coronavirus. I do believe that God is trying to get our attention. God is trying to, in this virus, to get us to look up, to look to him, and not be overwhelmed with all of our problems and difficulties. And I'm not minimizing them. It is a difficult time. But God is so much greater, ladies and gentlemen, than our problems. What are some lessons? Well, I think number one is the vulnerability of man. We're finding out how vulnerable we are. We're not super perfect. We're not without stress. We're not without problems. We're not without difficulties. We are very vulnerable, as we're seeing in the whole world how vulnerable man is to a crisis. Secondly, we're seeing the uncertainty of life. Many of us said, when we started the year 2020, we had all kinds of plans and goals and things we were going to try to do. And boy, how that has changed. Our lives have changed. And life is so uncertain. And so we need to proceed knowing that God is the only one who is certain. A third thing I think we've learned is the scarcity of hope. The messages that seem to be going out are so negative and so hopeless. And there's been very little hope that's been out there. And yet, Jesus Christ is a source of our hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope in the resurrection of Jesus. Fourthly, and that just leads me to this, I've learned that in the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. I think in a time like this, as we realize we have problems that we have no answers for, problems that are greater than our own ability to deal with them, we find out that Jesus Christ is our only solution. And he offers his help to us. He offers his salvation. And he is sufficient. Whatever you're going to face, whatever you're going to go through, he is sufficient for it all. You cannot solve the problem yourself. You cannot deal with it yourself. Only Jesus can help you. And then a fifth lesson is the urgency of salvation. You need Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted him as your Savior, let me offer you him to you today. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, that if whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. You see, a lot of people come to an Easter service for various reasons, whether it's in a physical service like we've always practiced or on this live service, live streaming service today. And many people come for different reasons. It doesn't matter why you came. God brought you here to tell you that you matter to him. And many of you watching, we know that. We realize that. We know that we matter to God. We've trusted Jesus as our Savior. But maybe you're watching today and you're wondering if God really cares. You see, there's more to life than making money, ultimately building a career, and then retiring. You are important to God. And regardless of your background, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of where you've been, where you think you're going, God wants to say to you today at Easter time that you matter to him and he cares. Isaiah 54:7, God says, "For a brief moment I abandon you, but with deep compassion I will bring you back." God has deep compassion for every one of us. There's no need to be afraid. When the God, our Creator God, has that kind of compassion for us, he will watch over us. He will protect us. He will help us navigate through it all. You see, Easter is all about the love that God has for us. No one will love you as much as God loves you. Many people are fearful that overcomes them. Many people don't like themselves, and yet that's the why of this message today. Here at our church, at Beacon Falls Congregational Church, we want to try to develop, and we have tried to develop an atmosphere of love where you can love and be loved and you as you grow in God. And during these last few weeks, I've seen so many examples of God's love permeating our own church. And I assume and believe that's being repeated and multiplied in churches all over America and all over the world. But we must start with the right foundation. You are made to know God. You are made to love God and be loved by him. Jesus Christ did not come to bring a religion. He came to bring a relationship. He wants a relationship with you. Some, perhaps today, are just holding on. You matter to God, and He wants you. His power is available to you. So let me just remind you, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, here's what you just, very simple to do. Realize you're a sinner. All sinners, the wages of sin is death, God says. But Jesus Christ died to pay for our sins. He literally took our sin upon Him, charged our sin to His account and His righteousness to us. He paid for our sins, and yet the same power that raised Jesus from the dead can help us start all over, a new life. He can help you start all over. And if you'll just believe that you're a sinner, under the judgment of that sin, believe that Jesus died for you to pay for your sin, turn from your sin and all the things that you've been following, and turn to Jesus and trust Him as your Savior. Call upon Him. If you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, God says He'll save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Jesus will save you if you will trust Him. And if you have done that this morning, just contact us here through Facebook or on our website or however. And if you need help, if you don't understand still, contact us. We'll do everything we can to try to help you know how to believe in Jesus, trust in Jesus. He loves you. He died for you. He rose again that you might be saved. God bless you.